Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. Mary Lurson here, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking at Music Education, also coming to you live at Bands of America Grand Nationals. We have quite an interesting roundtable here. We are here with three band directors from three parts of our country and their drum majors. So this is it feels like a really weighty place to be. So I'm going to go around and have you introduce yourselves. Just your name, what your name, rank, and where you're from. Let's start over here.
I'm David Adelin. I'm the band director at Franklin High School in Franklin, Tennessee.
Together with?
I am Austin Sparks, student at Franklin High School and drum major of the Franklin High School Marching Band.
Yes, welcome. And Franklin High School is in Tennessee.
That's right, just south of Nashville.
Right. So how long to get here?
4.5 hours if Kentucky traffic's not too bad.
Yeah, well, that's not so bad, 4.5 hours. All right, go across the table.
My name is Brandon Barametti. I'm the band director at Centerville High School in Centerville, Ohio, just outside of Dayton.
I'm Cameron Bennett. I'm a student at Centerville High School, and I'm drum major of the Centerville Jazz Band.
And your community says about 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Easy bus ride.
Yeah. How many buses?
5.
And how many for you all in?
4.
4. Yeah. We see them parked all around Lucas Oil Stadium. And also with us?
I'm Brent Biscup, band director at Flower Mound High School from Flower Mound, Texas.
I'm Alex Palma. I'm a drum major at Flower Mound High School.
Yes. And Texas, how many buses and how long?
7 buses in 14 hours.
Wow. And in any 18 wheelers?
2.
Yeah. Let's get it clear, ladies and gentlemen, what it takes. How about 18 wheelers for you, equipment trucks together?
1 18 wheeler and I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I think we just gained one last night.
Right. I mean, let's be clear, what it takes to have this experience to bring basically an entire band department onto this campus, the Indiana Lucas Oil campus in Indianapolis to perform here. Well, welcome. 3 band directors, 3 seniors, products of remarkable music education programs who are now on the podium conducting the bands on the field. I'm just all excited to have you here. So let's go kind of group by group. I'd love to hear more about your communities. You know, you tell us a little bit, you know, we've got 3 states in the room here. A little bit more about your communities, how long you've been there, what the program is like. Which state would like to start?
I can start.
All right,
sure.
Great.
So Centerville, Ohio, like I said, is just south of Dayton, and our school district is one high school, which is maybe a little bit different than, say, a Texas situation where it's multiple high schools in one district. So one high school in our district, we have about 2,700 students in our high school, and our band program is about 250 students program-wide. Students start band in 6th grade, and it's a little interesting situation with our middle schools. I think every band program probably says that, you know, they've got their thing that they have to kind of work through a little bit. Our thing is our middle school schedule is interesting because they do not get band every day at the middle school level. They get it 3 days a week for about 30 minutes opposite their lunch. So they go out and they have recess and then they come to band, or they go to band and then they go to have recess. So it's a interesting situation. And by the time they get to high school, then we get them and we kind of give them a lot of opportunities and teach them up.
So every time we see these, your remarkable bands that they take the field and everyone is like, it's like, so, you know, we think, oh, it must be just perfect and they must be getting instrumental music in 4th grade and everything just must be, you know. But, you know, the reality is there's a lot of scheduling issues.
Oh, sure.
There's
absolutely
staffing issues.
And everybody deals with that. Everybody has their thing in their own different way. So, you know, I think it's important to know that, you know, there's ways to work through any situation.
Mm-hmm. And Cameron, also from the same community, when did you start music and what was your opportunity coming up through the program?
I started band in 6th grade and I started on clarinet. And
so you were this part of this continuum that you just talked about.
Yeah. We actually meet them very early on. We have different middle school directors, but we get to meet the high school directors from the beginning, they come during some of our band classes and they kind of talk us through like what it will be like when we get into high school and how we will kind of advance through the program.
So that's part of the infiltration, right?
And I should say too that we have three middle schools that feed into Centerville High School, mm-hmm. but it's all contained in one district in the community.
Pretty much as we go around the country and look at programs of all sorts of sizes and shapes and programs, this continuum of connection to the programs is like one of the elements of success.
Absolutely.
You know, that someone that opens the case for the very first time is maybe mentored, you know, in a summer program by a high school student, mm-hmm. or they get to have this, you know, they're welcome into a community early in their training. Did you feel that there was something to shoot for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our school has a program called the Mentor Program where a high school student gets to give lessons to a middle school student once a week, every week. And that was really cool because we got to see how much better we could be because mm-hmm. as sixth graders, it's kind of hard to see that sometimes.
And now she gets to pay it forward to a middle school student. And it's part of their honors credit for band class. They get to go and they mentor a younger student. So she now gets to pay that forward to a younger student.
And what a great life lesson.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't just, you know, a great life lesson that we carry forward as an adult, knowing that we always have to do that at every part of our life. Well, let's hear from Texas. What's the program like in Texas?
Our town, Flower Mound, is about 40 minutes north of Dallas and just south of Denton. So it's a great community. We have, you know, the University of North Texas close, right. and we're able to tap into those resources. Our district itself is part of, there are five high schools. So we're
it's one of those
five.
mega Texas.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And, yeah, we have three middle schools that feed into our program. The students start in sixth grade and we try to do some of the same things, you know, get to the middle school and meet the kids. And we do have a high school mentorship program. They don't teach lessons, but they do just reach out socially and try to help with, you know, the transition from middle school to high school and do, kind of those same aspects of trying to get the students immersed into the culture as quickly as possible.
So you say there's three high schools.
There's five high schools in the district. Yes.
And you're one of them.
And we're one of them.
Wow. And is the program robust as in other high schools, or is there some, like, I guess we talk about equity in education. Is there an opportunity in all five high schools?
Yeah. It's, they're all of the high schools have great music programs, they're all thriving and lots of students. And, you know, we're fortunate. The district really supports the arts in our community. And so we feel very fortunate by that and then try to uphold the standard, you know, get as many kids involved and give them the best experience we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So how many in your program?
About 375.
Yeah. So we've got, you said 250 mm-hmm. in yours. I mean, that's big. These are big programs to field and with a lot of plumes to manage.
Lots of plumes, lots of students to try to feed and water and everything else.
Right. So when did you come into the program, Alex?
I started in sixth grade.
You started in sixth grade on the saxophone also, right?
Yes. And it was the same kind of thing. We got to meet the directors early. It was very nice to know that even at that middle school age, I would have a community to go into once I got to high school. I wasn't scared that, I wasn't going to fit in anywhere. It was always like, I have my spot. I'm a part of something bigger than myself. And that was always really reassuring.
You know, we can't underestimate this, right? I mean, adults, you know, the grown-up adults, we have the young adults here, that we have the grown-up adults around the table. You know, that sense of belonging, probably what motivated us to get involved, right? Band directors? I mean,
absolutely.
Right? So how about you, your program in Tennessee?
Franklin High School is an enrollment of about 1,700 kids. We're in a district with eight other high schools. We're in Williamson County, Tennessee, which is an extremely wealthy county in the United States. It's the seventh wealthiest county in the country because we have country music stars and Tennessee Titans players and Nashville Predators players that live there. It's a little bit unique, though, because we have an extremely low property tax rate. So we get very little funding from our district. We get moral support, but we have a very supportive community that supports us and allows us to do the things that we've been able to do the last few years. It's a wonderful, loving, warm community, Franklin, Tennessee, and it's a pleasure to teach those students every day.
It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yes,
ma'am. Driven down through there. Our summer NAMM show is in Nashville, so
that's right.
We get a chance to sort of roam into the country every now and then the days before. And how long have you been there?
This is my 11th year.
11th year, and built a big program?
We have about 240 in the whole program, and then a volunteer marching band of almost 200.
That's great. And how long have you been involved in the program? When did you start?
I started on alto saxophone in the sixth grade.
And this is Austin.
This is Austin.
You start in the sixth grade. So sixth grade. So yeah. There was a really good opportunity there, right? For you to start.
There are several middle schools that feed into Franklin High School. And I went to the largest of those middle schools, Grassland. And the band program there is, I feel like it's pretty strong there. I don't feel like it was as connected to the high school. I did meet Mr. A on a couple of occasions because he would come and see the middle school's concerts, though. So
there was a connection. Yeah.
Yes. We do some events together, too. We bring the kids over for our county marching exhibition and let the eighth graders be with us. And then we do a side-by-side concert with our wind ensemble and the eighth grade band there. So our schedules keep us at the high school all day long. So it's hard for us to get down during the day to be with the students. So we have to do it at events that are sort of outside the school hours.
You know, I'd like to just take a quick aside and say to anyone who's a parent who's listening to our podcast, when a student enters into a music education program like one of yours, right, that's got these tentacles and this continuum, you don't hear a lot of math faculty going down and talking about, you know, the continuum of one grade level to another. I'm sure they do. And when they build a curriculum, they have to build it stepwise, and they're very thoughtful about that. But when a music student enters into a rigorous program, they kind of see what's ahead of them, right? I mean, they can see that marching band at halftime, and they can in the community, and they can see they have this aspiration. To our drum majors here, did you early on have that kind of aspiration? Oh, someday I've got to do that. I've got to be that.
My sister, she's 2 years older than me. She played flute, and she loved the band program, and she was all for it, and she kept pushing me for me to do it. And I was honestly stuck between playing tennis for the varsity team and between doing band. And it was really tough for me to decide until she showed me how many more opportunities I would have with the band versus tennis, where there were so many more friends, just a different culture completely. And it shaped me into the person that I am today.
Yeah, we can't underestimate the power of that. It's really important. So band directors, I just like, we're going to tell them some secrets about themselves here. So, all right. A band director is a pretty remarkable job, right? I mean, it's a very complicated job, right? First of all, you got to teach something that's on the level of advanced calculus, trigonometry. I mean, you're teaching something very deep in terms of the knowledge base of it. But what in your training said, this is something I want to be, right? What was some of the guiding forces and energies in your own life? We start with Texas.
You know, I grew up, both my parents are music teachers.
And
I, right? Yeah, I mean, I was a kid.
It was either going to be good or bad.
Yeah,
right?
I lived in the band room, and that's what I did. I mean, I went to events, and at that time we were in Iowa, and I went to basketball games and, you know, football games, and that was what happened. So I grew up with that culture, but I was also blessed to have just really good teachers. I mean, that's what it is, you know, that influence you along the way. And when I was in middle school, if you would have asked me if I was going to be a band director, there was no way. I was going to throw baseballs for a living. I mean, that was my thing. And I was really involved in it, and I loved it. And then I hit a certain point where I came home. It was my junior year, and I looked at my parents and I said, I'm going to be a music teacher and I'm quitting baseball tomorrow. And they said, no, you're not. And I walked into my coach the next day and said, I'm done. And, you know, my parents were shocked. But ultimately for me, I decided I just had to come to the consensus. This is what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
You know, plus there's so much money in what we do.
That's the real reason.
Right. I mean,
yeah, you could
clearly
we're
all wealthy.
Off. Yeah. Yeah.
You could have had this
great slider.
But I mean, ultimately that was the decision. I enjoy doing this and I wanted to continue doing it.
Yeah. And just think of the young people that you've touched along the way, right? I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know if Alex would tell you that,
but I hope so. Alex? What do you think?
It's very person to person. I'm kidding. No. It's one of the most genuine people I've ever met. It's scared me a lot, freshman and sophomore, sometimes now. But no, he's definitely someone I look up to. I mean, they're about as good as it gets, I guess.
Yes. Well, I would agree that I think that. All of us that became music teachers, I mean, I was so, so inspired by my high school band director that was the only thing I could really do.
That was sort of my story too.
Yeah.
my high school band director had one of those personalities that was just so magnetic. You just wanted to be around him all the time. And that's where I found my place and where I felt like I was the most comfortable. I played sports in high school. I played soccer. And I did soccer and band at the same time when I was a freshman in high school. And so I would leave soccer practice early to go to band practice. And you would imagine the things that I would hear from the rest of the soccer players about leaving early to go to band. I would leave band early to go to soccer, and everybody in band thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, they were super supportive about it. And I remember getting through that first year of splitting my time and doing both. And I sat down and I looked at my options, and I realized that here's this group of people that really support me and appreciate me being there. And there's this other group of people that could care less if I was there or not. You know, they're going to find somebody else. And I just saw more opportunities through music and more opportunities through band. And that was kind of when I made up my decision to be full on band all the time.
In addition to the remarkable salary and all the
perks.
Right. Yeah. Hanging out with these perpetually wonderful young people, I think, is the best.
Well, that is the coolest part about what we do. You know, just being around students and seeing them grow up. You know, when they come into your program as sixth graders and you get a chance to meet them and you see them, we look at it as a 7-year commitment. Like, we're going to get this kid in sixth grade. How do we keep them all the way through 12th grade? And that's one of the coolest parts of our job.
Yeah, it's the essence of the job.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
David, how about you? What was your path?
I grew up on a farm in rural Tennessee, and my parents were both sang in church and that sort of thing. And that was my first exposure to music. And then I joined band in high school. It was a small high school. And our director was a young director, and now he's a principal in a neighboring district and just a genuine person. And he would take us to see things. And so he would take us to this concert or this, you know, performance or whatever. And he took us to, there's a contest in Tennessee. It's called the Contest of Champions, which has been until this year was the longest running contest in the United States. This would have been the 56th year, and it's older than the Super Bowl. And our band wasn't good enough to go, but he took us to watch. And so, when I was a sophomore, I watched the band that ended up winning. It was the North Hardin High School band at the time. And Dale Warren was the band director, and the band was remarkable. And I remember watching them, and I had an epiphany. It was really like the angels sang and the lights came out, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. And so I decided when I was a sophomore, watching the finals of the Contest of Champions, that I was going to be a band director. And I haven't wavered much since yesterday that I was going to keep doing it. That's my experience. And that, you know, sort of getting that vision for what's outside of your, doesn't matter where you grow up, but what's outside of where you are. That's one of the great things about music, and that it gives you those windows into other opportunities. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a metropolitan area or rural area, it's still, you get to see something different. And that was a huge thing for me. And my high school band director, his name is Fred Barlow. He was great at that. Just getting us out of our environment to learn about what else is possible.
That's great. You know, I was a kid that grew up on a farm too. Farm in Wisconsin, and I call it a blooming miracle that there was a program of such high quality that was available to me. And, you know, we did some, you know, trips and exposure like that. But for me, honestly, it was just the sound of the quality of, you know, when you finally have this first sort of experience of that. Everything's kind of blending, and you know, you got 99 part harmony and the timbre and the instrumentation. And you know, we're knowing now in research that it is kind of, you know, it's biochemical, it's neuro, that we, our brains. And you know, when you said a moment of epiphany, I mean, I think because things just do come together for us because of the sound. I mean, it's just the work, it's kind of, you know, so I heard it even, you know, standing on the field and hearing when you can feel the energy of the ensemble coming together around a very, very specific blend of sound. And I think it just changes a person, you know? So I'm sticking to it. I believe that I'm sticking to it. So now to our young people, that are our drum majors, what's it like to stand on that podium? We don't hear a lot about what's it like to stand on that podium and, you know, with your back super straight and all of a sudden the whole world is right on top of you and you've got to make this whole thing. What is that? What's that moment like? Is your heart beating a little faster?
Definitely. No, initially it was very scary. I've always been a shy kid, and standing in front of 400 people, it's kind of, overwhelming. But I mean, like last year we had three senior drum majors and they were all one of my best friends. They're some of my best friends. And they really taught me that I have a role in this program just like everyone else does. And it's just my duty to fulfill my role and do the best I can. And that's honestly helped me grow as a person. I mean, I'm out here talking in front of all these people indirectly. And I don't know. I think it's really helped me step out of my shell and just grow as a person in general. Yeah.
Did you have to do some real serious training, like score reading and you know, really dive into the technique of conducting and all the things that you do?
Yes, I practiced with the other drum majors and they really honed my skills. And now I'm passing that on to the other three junior drum majors. And again, like we were talking about earlier, I think it's really important to acquire those skills from the more experienced players. And then after that, pass it on, continue the legacy, that kind of thing.
How about you, Cameron?
I was not a shy kid, and it was still terrifying because you go from being like part of the band, which is amazing, but there's always a little bit of a room for error, and then everything you do is just broadcast in front of a lot of people. So anytime you mess up, everyone is aware of it, and that was really scary to me. But last year, I was a drum major with two other people that were also new drum majors. None of us had done it before, and it was kind of an interesting thing to learn how to do all of it together. And to all figure it out kind of at the same time and to just learn how to be leaders in the way that the band needed us to be leaders.
Because a lot of the bands on the field, you have a drum major on both sides of the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're conducting when the band faces one way and you conduct the other way. And then sometimes there's trade-off for the drum majors that are on one side. Plus, I would be terrified on that being on that podium.
I'm also afraid of
some of those podiums. They're up on these big ladders with these podiums, and some have guardrails and some don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, spotter, you need some spotters, right? How about you?
Yeah, I feel awesome. Like stepping up on that podium is truly invigorating. And it's kind of funny how I am a drum major, because when I came in band and I saw the Franklin Band in eighth grade, I didn't want to join the marching band at all. And then I watched what they were doing. It's like, I want to be able to do that. That looks really awesome. It's like the drum major just, they always had this air of confidence around them. And I was a really shy kid. So I was like, well, I want to be like that when I grow up. So I worked really hard. And I mean, now I'm here. It's been really great, because last year there were three amazing people who trained me to be a drum major. And I also, if you're an aspiring drum major out there, the Bands of America Drum Major Institute at the Summer Symposium, I definitely recommend going there, because they teach you a whole bunch of stuff like score study and conducting and marching basics. It's all really helpful. And those three drum majors last year really helped me to become a better drum major. So now I'm helping train three new drum majors, and now they're super incredible. And it's really just an incredible experience.
You know, this theme of mentoring and playing it forward is just really consistent here. The band directors are all here because of something that really inspired them from another person, right? I mean, it's just really interesting. It's the heart and soul of music education, really. It's wonderful. So I guess with three high school band directors, you know, you also conduct wind ensembles, I assume, right? Admit it, put it out there on the table. You all practice at home in front of the mirror, right? Do you have a collection of batons? I mean, come on, let's get some true
confession. I try to find the baton with the right notes.
Yeah.
The magic wand. I have a collection of batons that are all broken. And I don't even know why I keep them. I just have like a thing full of broken batons.
Now, how did they get broken, Brandon?
Well, let's not talk about that.
Right.
They fall out of my hand.
Right.
Sure.
We never, you know, we don't really get close to the craft. This is our opportunity here to get closer to the craft. But you all do kind of conduct at home when no one's watching, right?
I used to. Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
I like to think that I have time to do that.
Right.
If I ever have time to sit down and conduct at home, I try to dedicate some time for score study, but it's amazing how quickly that goes away when you feel like you've got all of these other things to take care of.
Yeah, and you have so many other things.
And they don't tell you that in college. You know, in college, it's all about, hey, you got to make sure you study your scores, which is important for sure. But you also got to make sure that the buses get requested and that this parent email gets responded to and that you attend the staff meeting. And before you know it, it's time for marching band rehearsal. And
right.
then family time and everything else. It's really challenging.
Right. So one thing that I've witnessed or I'm observing is that the successful programs, which all of you have come to this event? You know, a lot of, how many years it being from 33, you said?
Yeah, Centerville has been coming to BOA for,
and the Texas program is once every 4 years?
Yeah, this is our second time.
Your second time, mm-hmm. And how about for the Franklin program?
We've been every year since 2011.
So those, I mean, this is a lot of energy moving forward every year coming around. I've seen that the six really great programs have more of a management model. Do you have a lot of students helping? A lot of students that are helping to manage? Yes, a lot of head shaking.
Oh, for sure.
Tell us about that.
Well, I think
how you become an engine, right?
I think most band directors are type A personalities that feel like they have to do everything. And that's how I am. And I've tried to relinquish some of that and find things that I don't need to do and have students help me. Like I could spend all day organizing our music library, but I don't have time to do that. And I've got kids that love doing that, so I let them take care of that. Making copies of, you know, music or whatever we need for the day or whatever, and, you know, things that you don't need a music degree to do it. I'm trying to find ways to let the kids do that. And it's hard. It's really hard when I want to do it. You know, I like being out there setting up my room and putting chairs and stands out, but I don't need to do that. I've got kids that can do that. So, mm-hmm. I think it's good for us to just relinquish some of that sometimes.
And they just think what the kids are learning along the way.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you empower them to,
they become
to do
sort
more
of this, you know, this enterprise that has many, many legs. Yeah. Well, let's talk about really something that matters an awful lot to the success of all of your experiences, which is school and community support. Right. And a lot of what we worry about at the NAMP Foundation and the Support Music Coalition is what a supportive community looks like, you know, that first of all, that the music learning opportunity is in the curriculum, right? It's available in the school, even though we've heard some challenges already with when they can fit in a band in the middle school. I mean, these challenges just exist, but that they've hired high quality teachers in the continuum from elementaries to general music. And then, you know, that the school administration is really there supporting you. Can you talk a little bit about that? The role of a superintendent, a building principal, are they behind you? I know this is a dicey question if they're not, but, you know, is there?
Yes, 100%. Our superintendent is here. Our principal is here. It's not like that everywhere. You know, I will say that. But I do think one of the things that we talk about a lot is, you know, when kids in the classroom get excited, they go home. And if you're sitting at dinner with your family, and your 14-year-old son comes home and just says, here's what we did in band, and here's what's going on in band, and what about this, and what about this? Any parent in their right mind is going to start to go, why is my kid so excited about this? What's happening? And what can I do to continue to support them? Because then if that, you know, 14-year-old student comes home and goes, hey, I got to do my homework now because I got band practice, and I've got to do this because I want to make this happen or whatever. You know, as a parent, you're going to be excited about that. And so I think that leads to community support. And once that ball is rolling and those things are happening, then, you know, all of a sudden there's this culture and there's this community where they'll come in. You know, parents will do anything for their children. No doubt. We all will. So if it's a valuable experience for them, they're going to get on board.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate.
It underpins that the best advocacy is a great program.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just. Period.
Yeah. A great program that's meaningful to the kids that are part of it.
Right. That they're getting, that they're jazzed about it, and mm-hmm. that coming home at any level. It could be, you know, elementary band, and that becomes sort of the, you know, it becomes the community that's fun. It's interesting. Yeah.
And then, you know, I think everybody follows suit. You know, an administrator is going to go, I want to support this. Look, I hear all these great things about this. And of course, a superintendent is going to say, well, I want to support this. Well, look at it. This is a highlight of our school, you know. And so, you know, in our area, we're so fortunate. I mean, you know, our superintendent knows about the programs and is always complimentary. Sent me a text message today when we got off the field that said, that was fantastic. I'm so proud. You know, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It means a lot when somebody in a leadership role like that, that's in charge of large school settings, you know, says, hey, we value what you do.
Yeah. And that's wonderful, but you've earned it.
Hopefully.
I mean, I really believe, you know, I mean, you know, a great program is the best advocacy, but we know what it takes to have a great program. You have to really do the work and you have to keep going back. And not every school administrator or school board member. I mean, we entered into tough times with finances and tough decisions and, you know, but how do we kind of hold the ideas hold through the rough times so we can come back into the better times? Any other thoughts about that? Working with different administrations?
We have an incredibly supportive school administration. Our principal, her name is Mrs. Willie Dickerson. She's fantastic. She goes to all the band events and that sort of thing. And there was a few years ago where, you know, most coaches or most administrators many times are, you know, they're former coaches. And so this is a few years ago. This is 2012. We were about to go to our state championship in marching band. And the day before, the assistant principals all snuck into the band room, used their master key to go in the uniform room, and they found these old band uniforms and an old parade banner. And they paraded around the school during class changes with this Franklin Band banner wearing band uniforms, these 40-year-old men who are all former coaches. And that was a big moment for us because that validates what we do with the kids. That's the backup quarterback on the football team or the point guard on the basketball team when they see these gentlemen who they look up to and respect supporting the band. And so I think that's part of what you have to have is that sense of what it really means. We try to be really intentional at Franklin about community and community support. And a few years ago, we wrote sort of a model for how we want our band program to be that kind of guides us and has a set of core values and some other components that give us our energy direction so that if a parent moves in, it doesn't take them long to get acclimated to what our program goals are and how we want to be and sort of our student profile. And that's been very helpful for us to sort of set the program on a long-term pathway. So it's not just things aren't happening randomly. They're happening intentionally over a long period of time. And that's been very beneficial for us.
And I think it gives a school administration some grounding too, mm-hmm. right? In other words, you're not waiting for them to set the standards. You're setting the standards for something that is a tradition in the school mm-hmm. and something that's great. How about down Ohio?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate that I inherited this position 11 years ago, and it was already fantastic and already had a history and a tradition and already had community support. I never felt like I had to win anybody over or had to convince anybody that the program was great because they had been great for such a long time. And that's thanks to my predecessor, Wayne Markworth, who's a Bands of America Hall of Famer and really just set everything up for success. So when I got the job, I felt the weight of that. I felt the importance of that, but I never felt like I had to convince anybody about it, you know? So I look at my job as kind of being the steward of that and the person that gets to continue all of that. And we have certainly, you know, made our own way over the past 10, 11 years. But it's been pretty remarkable just to know that support is already there. And yeah. I have great district administration and building principals that I know I can go to and I can ask them for anything. And the best way for people listening to get them to be on your side is just to invite them to everything. Invite them to everything. I mean, we've invited them here before, and if their schedules work out, they'll come over. But they want to be involved. They want to see it. And when they do see it, it opens their eyes so much. I mean, it just blows their mind because they can't comprehend the scope of all of this.
You know, in our national advocacy work, we've adapted a couple of mottos. And one of the top line mottos is that we are relentlessly positive. You know, in other words, if there's a school administrator or a school board member that is kind of not ever had the experience deeply themselves, well, give us a little time. And if, over time, it's just, you're just going to be swept right into this world that is just so undeniably strong and united with this energy of music and young people and invite them, as you said. And we've done this with members of Congress, and we've done this with governors and lieutenant governors. We've just kind of swept them into programs, and it's undeniable what they see.
And they realize, right? too, I think.
It's that undeniable what they see.
The band can be the biggest advocate for the school district mm-hmm. because we come to these national events, and everybody hears of Franklin High School and Flower Mound High School and Centerville High School. Like, what better thing for a school district to have their name out there on a national stage? They have to recognize that that's a super positive right. thing.
So back to our drum majors, and then we're close to sort of having some final thoughts. So band directors, while I'm talking to the drum majors, you guys think about some final thoughts and maybe some advice for other band directors or other school districts. But to the drum majors, what does it mean? This is your last year with this program, with this great band director you're sitting next to, right? It's always, you know, band directors, it's always hard to see these students go. I think that's the saddest day of the year. Maybe two sad days when you get a whole bunch of kids you never worked with before come in the door. And the other saddest days when all the kids you worked with so deeply for so long and they all leave to go on to the rest of their lives. So, but for you seniors and drum majors, what happens to you here at Grand Nationals? What's it like for you to be on the podium at Grand Nationals, and do you have some buddies from other schools that you see here, and what's the community like for you here at Grand Nationals as a leader of one of these great bands? Want to start, Alex?
Personally, I feel very privileged just to be here. I mean, it's obviously an incredible opportunity. We did have a dinner with another band that actually came down to Texas a couple weeks ago, and just the whole atmosphere of all these band kids talking about their shows and just everything that they go through day to day on like a band standpoint, not just band, also school, and just everything that they have to deal with day to day along with band. And then we see them here in Indianapolis, and it's just kind of like, wow, like I know you, like this is super cool that we get to do all this together. And I think that's the most incredible thing, is building those relationships, maintaining those relationships, even after you spread around across the country, across the world, as you keep growing as a person, as you keep exploring things for yourself.
And it all started with band.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. How about you, Cameron?
I'm hearing the same thing. It's really cool to, after we perform, we'll watch the bands, and there are a lot of other bands in there in the stands, and it's really cool to meet people because all of our stories are very similar, and it's really easy to connect with them very quickly. And then with the wonders of social media, we can then stay in touch for a really, really long time afterwards. And it's really cool to just meet them and to make the connections and to keep them, because we're all so similar.
Because it's so positive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's built on the bedrock of hard work of being in a band, right? It's all built on something pretty rigorous and deep. That's great. Yeah. And how about you,
I just
Austin?
Think it's so cool to be able to come here and be able to see and meet hundreds of kids from all over the United States who you have something in common with. It's just so cool to see like all the different shows that you see and how different bands operate, and you form those connections. Like I marched in the 2017 Honor Band of America in the Tournament of Roses Parade, and I still see some of those guys like around here at Grand Nationals. We keep in touch over Facebook. It's just in all of Bands of America. It's just an incredible experience.
It is an amazing organization. It truly is. All right, band directors, gave you 2 minutes there to think. Any final thoughts?
I have friends that say, yeah, we're going to go to Grand Nationals in a few years when we think we're ready. And I always tell them, no, you should go now. Go before you're ready. Because being around students like these and these incredible colleagues that are at this table, that's what lifts us all up. And for the parents that are working on the pit crew of a band, they can see, oh, well, these people do it this way. And, you know, it's such a great way to sort of lift every part of the band program up is by being here and witnessing it firsthand. And so for those of the folks that are listening that are thinking that maybe they're not ready to come to Grand Nationals, come on when you're not ready, because that'll help you get ready a lot faster.
And be part of this community.
That's right.
Right. I mean, yes, the standards are very high. The participation commitment is very high, but there's a lot of learning here, as you just said, right? A lot of exchange, a lot of learning. Anyone? Texas? What are you going to tell us?
I totally agree with you. I don't know that you ever feel ready. I don't know that there's ever a time where you're like, yeah, we got this figured out. I don't have it figured out, I'll tell you that. So, the biggest thing I think that I've just learned over this short period of time is just make mistakes and be okay with it. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys know, we talk to the kids all the time. Like, I'm going to screw up every single day, multiple times. And that's part of what we do. And I think in the process of just making mistake after mistake after mistake, every so often you get lucky and figure something out. You're like, well, that worked. Okay. That's one for 200. Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. So, for me, that's the biggest thing. Just be willing and be ready to be vulnerable and just be okay with, you know, we're not going to get things right all the time, but.
And then I think when you have that atmosphere, a lot more positive energy comes to you, right? Everybody kind of gives a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Right?
Everybody feels more comfortable too.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to be perfect.
Right. It's pretty perfect what I hear out there though on that field.
Yeah. I agree with both of them. I'll say something maybe a little bit different, and I'll give you maybe a little bit of a soundbite too. And Cameron has heard this many times before, but marching band is a ridiculous activity. It's ridiculous. And I remind them of that all the time. Like, whoever thought it was a great idea to be out on a football field running around with your instrument that was made to be played sitting down, chucking a rifle, a wooden rifle into the air, or a saber, or spinning a flag. The things that we ask the students to do in these marching bands is insane. And it continues to be that way. And I tell them that because I try to keep them grounded and keep them humble and get them to realize that this is not the most important thing in the world. We all think that it is. Or when we come here, we think that this is the most important thing and everybody cares about it because we all care about it a lot. But in the end, it is ridiculous. And I always say that, and then I follow it up and I say, it is ridiculous, but I love it. And it's so much more than running around on a football field and all of the craziness that goes with it. I mean, theatrical productions and props and you name it. It's ridiculous, but I love it. And I love it because of all of the things that it teaches them aside from all of the ridiculousness of it. So I just try to remind them of that. I try to remind myself of that whenever it gets a little bit too much. Just take a step back from it and realize just, one, how lucky we are to do what we do, and two, how ridiculous it is that we do it.
Which is
but
why
I love it. I do.
Which is why we'll always keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
Right. And
absolutely.
We want more and more and more. You know, our dream at the NAMM Foundation is that every child everywhere has the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that more and more children can grow into a program that is led by a, you know, a deep and rich and warm music teacher, as you all are, and that these young people can have this aspiration to stand on a podium fearlessly and lead a ridiculous marching band of hundreds. So what a wonderful conversation. I could go on forever and ever, but you all have fun things to do in Indianapolis. And then we have more marching this afternoon and the semis tonight. Is that right?
Tomorrow.
Semis are tomorrow. We wish you all luck as it proceeds and you have some fun in Indianapolis. And thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us here at this conversation of Talking at Music Education with three band directors and their drum majors from Tennessee, from Ohio, and Texas. And thank you for joining us. And as we always say at NAMM, together we keep music education strong. Thanks for joining us at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.